start with an opening remark.
Yeah, well, it's been one great day, one great event. I can't tell you how elated I am that this has happened. I can't tell you how great the Wizard organization has been to me and my family. And it's, you know, it's one of those days that you think about and dream about. You never know if it's going to happen, but it has happened. And what a great affair it was to say at halftime here. So I'm going to just, I don't know what else to say, man. I didn't know what to say when I went out on the floor, but kind of just speaking from my heart and just to let everybody know that how wonderful it felt to me.
We'll open it up for questions.
How does this rank with all of your defining moments in your life?
Well, this ranks way up there in terms of all the things that I've accomplished and done, you know, in my professional career. And I've always said that, you know, I'm kind of a very loyal type of individual, and I think that because of bullets, or I keep saying the bullets, you know, but you know what I'm saying. The Wizards, you know, have chosen to do this. It makes it so that, you know, it's the first place that I came when I first came into the league, and, you know, I've come full circle, so, you know, I couldn't be more elated about it.
Earl, was Abe right? Did you really know what you were doing when you were on the floor?
Well, Abe, you know, here's a funny story about Abe. We came in, he came into the locker room one evening, and I was sitting in the locker room at halftime eating a cheesesteak. And we went out and we won the game. Next game, Abe sent a cheesesteak in for me. So, I didn't know what I was doing most of the time. But, you know, most of my game, a lot was improvisation. And as I played the game, and that's why I never liked to play the game, like practice. I used to like to just practice game, like a game, scrimmage. Because the things that I did in scrimmages were automatic when I went to play the game. So that's kind of how, you know, my whole career was like that.
Earl, might we see you more a little bit now that, you know, your number's been retired here? Will we see you here once in a while?
Well, I hope so. You know, it's, you know, I haven't experienced, you know, this type of fanfare and whatnot in a long time. And, you know, the ovation I got this evening, you know, really, you know, took me by surprise. I mean, you know, I haven't done this stuff in a long, long time, and to still have this type of effect, you know, it's really, really, you know, I just can't say, I don't have words to say.
Earl, when you were a teenager, could you have imagined this for yourself, like your entire career, and what advice could you give for other young men out there who aspire to be where you are one day?
Well, you know, obviously you never really know where you're going to go. When I started playing basketball at the age of 14, which was kind of late even then, I, by the time I got 18 and played 1 year of varsity, 1.5 year of varsity basketball, I said I was going to play basketball. That was going to be my career. I was going to play in the old ABL, and thank goodness that league folded. And I went on to Winston-Salem, and you know, I learned a lot in Winston-Salem with Coach Gates, and it's just prepared me for life, you know, after basketball, even as such. So I'm just to tell someone about, you know, basketball, sports in general, keeps you very young for a long, long time, and it's a great institution to be involved with. But you also have to be able to move on from there. And for advice for guys who want to play basketball, be in sports, I'd say do, you know, fulfill your dream if you can. But if you don't, you know, make sure you have something else to fall back onto.
Earl, when I was a young boy in North Carolina and in West Virginia, out in cow fields where we beat the grass down and played out there on the dirt, and I used to play one-on-one against myself and call the play-by-play. And it was always Frazier against Monroe and Monroe against Frazier and back and forth. And I wore number 10 at Shepherdstown Junior High because I thought I was going to either be Earl Monroe or Frazier when I grew up. Wow. How often do you get stories like that from kids or even from us old guys?
Well, all the time. You know, I think because, too, you know, back in the early 70s when the Knicks and the Bulls were playing, it was a coming-of-age time. We were just out the Vietnam War. Everybody was feeling good about it. The other thing was that we were young. And those matchups between Clyde and I think were kind of legendary. And I always used to relish being able to play against the Knicks because, you know, it brought the best out in me. I was really sorry that I had gone to the Knicks because I would miss that rivalry. But you know, we gelled together, I think, basically because we had so much respect for each other.
Was that a matchup for you?
It's a great matchup for me. I loved it.
What's the genesis of the story behind the nickname?
Which one?
The story behind your nickname.
The story behind the nickname. First 8-9 games, I guess, of my senior year in college, I was averaging close to 50 points a game, and a guy wrote a column, and the caption of the column was, "These are Earl's Pearls." I have my biographer back here, Alex Hook here, and so I'm making sure that whatever I say it right.
For the game as a whole, the whole NBA, I know you've seen it evolve since you played in it. Where do you see the game going, and how much has it changed in terms of having that the showmanship that you really ignited in the league?
Well, I think that the game has changed to a point where, as you know, you don't have the typical big man anymore. Everybody can run the floor. Everybody's starting to shoot the three-pointers and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's only a few legitimate centers in the league, guys who play with their back to the basket. So I see the game elevating. I mean, obviously, it can't stay, you know, as it was. It couldn't stay as it was. And the things that we did back then, you know, these guys are taking it to another level. And it's great. The only level that I don't see them really taking it to is the mental aspect of the game. You know, it's like last night I was looking at a game where the team was down by 1 point. And it was a few seconds, about eight or nine seconds to go. And a guy takes a shot from the three-point line instead of going maybe to the hole where he could get fouled or at least get closer to the basket. He shot it off balance, left-handed jumper, and they lost the game. So, you know, the advent of having young guys coming into the league and playing, you have to really run the ball up and down the floor so that they can be involved in the game. They can't really play half-court games the way that we used to.
Earl, thank you very much.
Thank you all, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate it.
Welcome back.
Thank you much. Appreciate it.